Hey, everybody, welcome to the Context Machine, episode number 691. I'm Brian Chaffin.
And I'm Jeff Gamet. Hey, check us out online at contextmachine.io. Also, it is November 14th, and I am not wearing pants. What's up with that?
We're gonna circle back to that. You can also use contextmachine.io to reach out. See, you completely discombobulated me.
Do you want me to say it for you?
Nope. Or you can find us on Mastodon at Context Machine or on Blue Sky at contextmachine.bsky.social.
Also, we have a sponsor today. Our sponsor is Framer.
Excellent. Thank you, Framer. Yeah, I'm going to tell you more about them later in the show. And I think the question on top of everyone's mind is why no pants? Why did you tell us no pants? And why is the significance of it being November 14th significant?
Oh, right. You live in California. Yeah, I get it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Why did I tell you? Mm-hmm. Spontaneous utterance. I have no idea why, but mm-hmm. it's out there now, so we both have to live with it.
Okay. I could have edited that out, and yet
here we are.
Judging by the fact that people are hearing this, I don't think I did.
Probably not.
Yeah.
No. So sunny with a high of 73 Fahrenheit today, and it's November 14th in Colorado.
Yeah,
we haven't had a killing frost yet. We haven't had any snow. I've been running my air conditioner in November.
Yeah,
anyhow,
honestly, man, just kind of like, weird. It's 64 here today, and it's been raining. It rained all day yesterday, and it's been kind of raining on. Anyway, we finally have our November rains going, and it's been a little cooler. And it's also been kind of easy to forget that that the planet's warming up, because my local area, it has actually this was a mild summer. But
oh wow!
To your point, no snow in November where you are, that's a bad thing.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes the snow is a little bit later, but to be this late and it's been very dry and very hot throughout the year anyhow, mm-hmm. You put all the things together and while I enjoy wearing my shorts, it bothers me that I'm having to wear them this time of year.
Yeah, fair enough, man. Fair enough. Good luck with that.
Oh, thank you.
All right. So let's talk about the Borat sling.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of dressing down.
We're actually talking about the iPod sock. Is that
No, the iPod sock isn't a thing anymore.
But it was
the iPhone Pocket. Yeah.
Right. iPhone Pocket.
Yeah. So for those of you that are like, what are they talking about? This is the kind of over-the-shoulder sling thing that Apple designed.
Better than a over-the-shoulder boulder holder.
Well, that depends on your physique.
That's true. By the way, did I ever tell you about, it was overholes. When I was living in Montrose, there was an attorney, and we needed him for business reasons, and his name was Overholzer, and we called him we called this firm Over the Holder, Boulder Holder, and Sleestack. Because
I'm so glad that you included Sleestack in that. That makes me super happy.
I think it was some kind of a like Polish-ish name. It was Overholzer, and you know, anyway, but we turned that into Over the Holder, Boulder Holder, and Sleestack. So I just wanted to share that with you guys.
And people, just so you know, in Montrose, Colorado, that's like top humor. Just laugh out loud humor.
Right. So anyway, yeah,
the iPhone Pocket collaboration between Apple and Issei Miyake. I think that's how you pronounce their name.
It would be Miyake.
Miyake.
Yeah.
Okay. I was close. Just roll with it.
Right. I'm rolling.
Anyhow, so
I'm rolling, and it's a boulder.
Keep them doggies rolling.
No, it's a boulder, but it's going into the holder. Go ahead.
So this product
is going to go over the shoulder though first, and
Sisyphus for this product, aren't you?
Please continue.
Why? So anyhow, this thing, you sling it across your chest, uh-huh, and throw your iPhone into it, mm-hmm, and it's knitted, but Apple calls it 3D knitted construction, so it's like knitted as a whole unit, so I guess it means no seams anywhere. And it's a little bit stretchy, so you can throw your iPhone in there and, I don't know, a boulder or something. I don't know, something else. And it comes in several colors.
Listen, you brought it back. This is on you.
Right. But it was really clever the way I brought it back.
Yes, it was. Okay, fair enough. And mine was. That's a good point.
Yeah. So available in several colors. There's a short strap version, $149.95. The long strap version is $229.95. Went on sale as we record today, I believe. Mm-hmm. And yeah, today. And it's been selling out. And yet all of the media coverage I've been seeing of this talks about how this is the most ridiculous thing. How can they charge that much? This is the new iPod sock. This is a failure before it launches. There's a lot of negative press about this product.
Right. I am most empathetic to asking why it costs so much. That does seem the price tags on this seem kind of crazy to me.
I certainly would not pay prices like that for this. Of course, also, this is not a product that's designed for me.
Right. And that's why we're talking about this today.
It is. For the designer, Miyake, this is a very low-priced item. Miyake's designs.
Miyake.
Sorry, I was trying. Miyake.
Paladin. It's Miyake. Paladin, not Paladin.
I knew you'd go there. I would have been so disappointed if you didn't. Yeah. Okay, side note, everyone. Brian and I play Dungeons & Dragons, and he's our Dungeon Master right now. And for some reason, I have a weird mental block where I can't remember if the correct word is Paladin or Paladin.
It's Paladin. It's Paladin. It's
right.
It's macOS Tahoe. And it was macOS Sequoia.
I don't even know what language you're speaking anymore. Anyhow, this designer's works tend to be very high price. And so this is like low budget cost for one of their products.
I see.
For one of their designs.
Right.
That said, yeah. So you pointed out the reason we're talking about this is because we're sorting out who's this for.
Well, no, we were in the midst of a broader discussion with some other folks who don't care for this thing and were largely poo-pooing it. And you pointed out something that you read or you heard from someone else.
Yes. And I'm giving credit where credit is due. The first person that I heard talk about why this probably doesn't deserve the tough press it's getting was Marty Jensius, and he was talking about this on Dave Ginsberg's In Touch with iOS podcast. The other person that I heard talking about this in the same way was Patrice Brendamore. The Mac Show podcast. Also, Patrice and I do Retro Rewatch podcast. But the point is, two people, one person in the United States who talks with people that have a lot of relations and interactions outside the United States, and another person who lives in the EU. And their perspective was, we're not the people that Apple is targeting with this. And this is a thing for a different market. And for those markets, it will probably sell well. Well, reports are saying it's been selling out on the opening day. And if you look at the Apple stores where this is available, these are all stores that are in areas where you would expect to see more interest in higher fashion.
Yeah. Hong Kong, Tokyo, Shanghai, Paris, Seoul, Singapore. Singapore, Milan, London, New York City, and Taipei. Mm-hmm. These are fashion forward places, and they're in the only U.S. location is in New York. Everything mm-hmm. else is in London or Asia. Is in Europe or Asia. Mm-hmm. And that includes two European places. All the rest of mm-hmm. them are available in Asia. And the point that you made in this group chat that instantly resonated with me is the idea that this thing isn't for us. And that's okay. That's okay.
Yeah, that's absolutely
it okay. is okay if we don't want this. It is okay if we think this is ridiculous.
Yeah. It's a Hermes watch band for my Apple Watch that costs twice what the watch itself costs. Mm-hmm. To me, that's crazy. Mm-hmm. But I'm not the market for that product. Mm-hmm. Same thing with this.
Mm-hmm. And I also think that anyone dismissing this as an iPod sock, which was a flop, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It. Yeah, I think
iPod sock. It did not do well.
I don't think those comparisons are accurate. And also, like, Apple makes a point of showing Issey Miyake's name on this product. Mm-hmm. Maybe Apple does this with the Air Me stuff, but I don't know if there's
any specific brand markings on those bands.
Yeah, I mean, I'm
like even the Nike bands. I don't think they have a swoosh on them.
Really.
It's okay. The Nike band that I have does not have a swoosh on it, and it's an official Apple Watch band.
Wow, that is.
I have the one that has the holes all through it.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough. So anyway, the point is that Apple's putting this designer's name on this thing, and you know, like Jeff has said, it's not aimed at us, and that's okay. Like everyone. Freaking relax. It's okay if you don't want this.
Yeah.
And it's okay if other people do want this.
I have seen multiple articles, and of course I didn't take notes to remember where I read these things. Actually it may have been on social media where I saw it instead. Where people were talking about how Apple's not a fashion company. They should focus on what they do best.
That's the most ridiculous thing I've heard in a long time. Apple's not a fashion. Are you kidding me? Apple is absolutely
just passing on the news.
Apple is absolutely a fashion company. Amongst the many other things they do, They set fashions. Do not forget that the Apple Watch was propelled to its success in part by the $10,000 gold watch that no one bought.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, that $10,000 gold Apple Watch, and that price today would be probably more like $20,000 or $30,000 because gold has skyrocketed. But anyway, that $10,000 version of the Apple Watch absolutely was there to position the Apple Watch as a high fashion timepiece, and it succeeded. Mm-hmm. And tell me that an iPhone isn't a fashion statement at this point. Tell me that a MacBook isn't a fashion statement at this point. That's some myopia from some folks.
Yeah, and I cannot tell you these are not fashion statements because, yeah, you're right, they are. They are tools, but they are also fashion statements. And even look at what Apple has done with accessories for their own products. They have a wide range of cases mm-hmm. for iPhones, mm-hmm. And some cases do better than others. And like this year, they introduced the sling strap thing. And while I get that that's not a way to carry an iPhone for some people, I know people that have bought that and love it. And I went into the Boulder Apple store to check out the cases that have the kind of fabric-y thing on them and then the strap to go with them. And I don't think I would buy one, but I thought they looked really nice. And I get why people really like those.
Right.
And it is a fashion statement.
And also, again, it's okay when things aren't designed for us. I want to emphasize this. So there are three European countries, the cities that this is being made available in. Paris, Milan, and London. All three of those mm-hmm. are essentially fashion capitals. And New York City, a fashion capital. I don't know as much about Hong Kong, Tokyo, Shanghai, Seoul, Singapore, and Taipei, but I feel like fashion certainly matters in all those places. So I'm not surprised that Apple has a hit with this thing, and I am really not impressed with folks who are dismissing it. Not especially with the disdain with which they're dismissing it.
That's
not very impressive to me.
I have a prediction.
Yeah.
And it's that if they're not there already, we will see knockoff versions of these.
Oh, yeah.
On Etsy and Amazon and Temu, all the places. If it's not there already, within days. And they will sell.
Yeah. The interesting thing will be, my assumption is that Apple's doing a little bit of industrial magic to have these things not fall apart.
They're doing some kind of 3D printing thing with them.
Right.
Or excuse me, 3D knitting. So yeah, I'm sure that this is more than a little macrame iPhone.
Sack. Yes, yes, exactly. All right. So, I mean, it does kind of look like a Bora S-Line.
Yeah, it does, and. And as a courtesy to everyone,
yeah,
I'm not going to put a link to the image that I found that's out there comparing them. So if you really want to see it, just go search in your favorite search engine for
iPhone
Pocket Borat.
Yep.
And don't worry, you'll find the image.
Yes, and you're welcome.
Yeah. Yeah. You will not be able to unsee the image.
That's true. All right. So shall I talk about Framer?
Oh, I would love that.
So are you still jumping between tools just to update your website? Framer unifies design, CMS, and publishing on one canvas. No handoff, no hassle. Everything you need to design and publish in one space. Framer already built the fastest way to publish beautiful, production-ready websites, and it's now redefining how we design for the web. With the recent launch of Design Pages, a free canvas-based design tool, Framer is more than a site builder. It's a true all-in-one design platform. From social assets to campaign visuals to vectors and icons, all the way to a live site, Framer is where ideas go live, start to finish. So if you're ready to design, iterate, and publish all in one tool, you can start creating for free at framer.com/design and use code TCM, that's for the context machine, for a free month of Framer Pro. That's framer.com/design and use promo code TCM. Framer.com/design, promo code TCM. Rules and restrictions may apply. We appreciate them sponsoring this episode.
Yeah. Thank you, Framer.
Indeed. Thank you, Framer. And so in the meanwhile, we've got the death of Photoshop to report, I'm told. do I have that right?
Yeah. Yes, Brian. Yes. That's what we're reporting. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So for those of you that don't know what Brian's talking about, Canva, they announced just recently that the Affinity suite, Serif was purchased by Canva like a year ago. And
who's Serif?
Serif was a company that designed their own software, and they made Affinity Photo, which is a Photoshop alternative. Mm-hmm. Affinity Design, mm-hmm.
which is like an Illustrator thing, right? Or is it more like not Pages, but
no, like Illustrator, and then Affinity Publish. How funny. I just drew a blank on the name. Anyhow, so they had like a Photoshop Illustrator and InDesign alternative. So their own file formats, but they also supported Adobe's Creative Cloud formats. And these were like professional level tools. I started using them back when you and I both worked at Mac Observer, mm-hmm. to see if I could actually have an alternative to Photoshop that gave me everything that I needed. And that was a long time ago. At that point, there were a couple things tools that I needed that were in Photoshop that weren't in Affinity Photo. But other than that, I could do everything. And as time has progressed and there are even more features added to the products, I found I had no need for Creative Cloud. And so I haven't been a Creative Cloud subscriber for a long time. Mm. So when Serif was purchased by Canva, it did get a lot of us that are big time Affinity Suite users concerned because we didn't know what the future of this is going to be. Then like a month ago, it's just not available anymore and no word. And so then everyone got really worried. Then like a week or so ago, Canva, it's like, hey, here you go. We are rolling out a brand new product, which is the Affinity Suite, the three apps, but now it's a single app. Mm-hmm. And so you go to one app and you have your raster, your vector, and your page layout tools all together. And I have downloaded it. I've been using it, and I'm really impressed with it. Mac native app, so not Electron. There's a Windows version as well. The iPad version of the apps. The new Affinity Unified app is coming soon. But the places where presumably people want them first, Mac and Windows, it's available now, and it's free for life. And Affinity even rolled out like a 2-minute video where they explained exactly why they're going to keep offering Affinity as a professional level tool.
I did for not free. Read that.
You did not read this?
I did
well,
not.
It's okay. I did.
Yeah. Right. So can you tell us what is their argument? Because I absolutely had some concern with, well, okay, this is going to be abandonware then. That was my gut reaction.
Legit concern. And my speculation before they made their announcement about why it's going to be free, why they're going to continue updating it, and why it's going to stay a pro-level tool. One of the things I speculated on is the parent company is Canva. Canva has their online design, editing, tools, collaborative tools. And that's where all the AI tools that that you can use when you're like whiteboarding projects or whatever, that's where you go. You go to Canva. So my speculation was, look, there's a lot of companies that that are using Canva already. So Affinity becomes a gateway tool. You get more companies on board. You get more companies that start seeing the value in having Canva to go along with Affinity, and you sell more Canva subscriptions. And I'm not talking so much at like the individual user level. I'm talking at like you're getting up to enterprise level. And it turns out, yeah, that actually is the motivation behind this. And they like the idea of having a product out there that gives you the professional level creation and editing features without the paywall in the way. So what you're not getting with the Affinity app are the AI features that are built into Canva itself. And for a lot of people, that'll be fine. So then the speculation comes that, oh, well, now people can get Affinity for free. It's a pro-level tool. So then that leads to the speculation. People have been saying that this means people aren't going to need a Creative Cloud subscription.
Well, I am sure that will be the case for some people.
Sure.
I am also quite confident that Adobe will keep on trucking.
I'm with you. I think that that Creative Cloud is going to continue selling very well. Adobe's not going to see a significant hit on their bottom line with companies abandoning them for Affinity and Canva. That's okay. There's market for both. I think there are a couple things that will keep people in the Creative Cloud ecosystem.
More than just familiarity and inertia?
More than that, but that's a big thing right there.
That is a big thing. But if those are the only things, that will lead to a perpetual downward spiral for any product that is relying on inertia and I'm too invested in this. I can't stop. That will eventually bring any company or platform to its knees.
Yes. And while that could be the case, I don't think it will be. I think that there are other factors that will keep companies from jumping ship. One of the big things is the Affinity Suite. It's it's your photo and image editor, so your raster stuff, your vector stuff, and your page layout stuff. The Creative Cloud suite has a lot more because you also have a nonlinear video editor, you have audio editing, you have there's a bunch of other tools that are built in to Creative Cloud. So if you're doing anything that involves functions that aren't part of the Affinity app, then you're in the Creative Cloud space. And there's a lot of companies that they have workflows that are designed specifically around Creative Cloud, and redesigning those to accommodate switching over to Affinity is probably going to be a task that's bigger and more expensive than they want to take on.
Yeah, that's fair.
So, yeah. So, I mean, if I sat here and spent the time, I could probably come up with a lot of other reasons. The fact that you have to have a Canva paid subscription to get the AI features, that's not the thing that's going to keep people from adopting the Affinity app.
Yeah, that's true. And nor will the ability to access Photoshop's AI features protect Adobe. I mean,
right.
The reality is that things built on models can be copied by anyone else wanting to build something on a model. So that you know, the ability to use model-based tools is not much of a competitive advantage when anybody can implement their own model-based tools.
Right. Also, when you're using the Affinity apps, because of the way they're designed, they can take advantage of some of the add-ons that have been created, some of the plugins that have been created for Photoshop and Illustrator. Mm-hmm. So, and also like brushes. Mm-hmm. When you go out and buy brush packs for Photoshop, you can pop all those into Affinity, and which I have done. I own multiple brush packs that I bought that are Photoshop compatible, and they just load seamlessly right into Affinity.
That's good.
So it's, yeah. And yeah. And that was a really smart move on Serif's part when they created the Affinity apps. Make them as compatible as possible with the ecosystem that's already out there.
Right.
And they did a great job with that.
So, you are, this is going to be this is going to be the downfall of Adobe or not?
This will not be the downfall of Adobe. This will not have a significant impact on Adobe's bottom line, but I believe it will have a positive impact on Canva's bottom line.
Yeah, fair enough. I agree with that, for what that's worth. So, yeah. You know, I'm glad we could sort this out.
Me too. And I'm glad that I realized what you clearly knew all along.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Again, you're welcome.
I'm so glad you're here for me.
All right. Thanks, man. I appreciate you walking us through everything. And it seems like we should probably call it. Is that right?
Yeah. Let's do it.
Okay. Here we go. And that's this week's Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, you can write us at contextmachinepodcast@gmail.com. Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly, the bass is by Dr. Boom, recorded just for the show. And I believe you have a date for the next Colorado Pin Show. Is that correct?
Yes. It's in 2026, October. I don't have the exact date off the top of my head, but yes, I believe the date's already been announced.
But you, no, but you have a date for the show.
Oh, I have a date for the show. I believe I do. Barry, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, Barry's going to go with you. And I wish that I could, but I probably can't. But anyway, whatever. That's it for this week.
Yeah. And hey, thank you, Framer, for being our sponsor. Head over to framer.com/design and use the promo code TCM. Yes. Yeah. Thank you, Framer.
Yep. Thank you, Framer.